Hello and welcome to the Conversion Choreography Show. I'm Anna Iverson, a former figure skater and corporate refugee turned direct response copywriter who helps you create high converting marketing campaigns that turn lukewarm leads into obsessed mega fans. Join me as I walk you through the latest marketing strategies and persuasion techniques to help you make more sales and more impact in your online business. Ready to get started? Then let's dive in with the show. A few months ago, I spoke to a client who made a surprising confession about her social media content. At the time, I was amused, but it turns out she isn't the only one who frantically throws together her daily social media content while hiding out in the bathroom before her kids wake up. In fact, winging it seems to be most people's default when it comes to content creation. Trouble is, winging it can create a number of problems, which dramatically lower the impact of your marketing efforts. It's why you need a plan. But it's not always easy to come up with a solid and consistent plan to market your products and services, or in fact to stick to it, especially when you're already juggling 1,001 things in your business and day-to-day life. I'm joined today by a special guest who has all the right answers to help you solve your social media headaches. Jennifer Kohlbuck is a veteran social media expert. After a decade managing social media campaigns for high-profile companies, she now helps online entrepreneurs scale their businesses through social media consultancy, coaching, and online programs. In this episode, Jennifer shares her best tips and strategies to help you create beautiful, high-value content without burning yourself out, even if you feel like you don't have the time.
Hey, Jennifer, I'm so excited to have you on the show. So before we get started, I just wanted to mention how stunning your website is. I went on to have a little nosy around the other day, and the hero image at the top of the page is amazing. It really made me pine for the mountains.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I was really jealous. I got serious website envy.
Thank you. That's literally just a photo my husband took. I guess that was like 2 years ago now when we're hiking in the States, and that's Mount Baker, which I can see actually right from where we live here in Port Moody, just outside Vancouver. Thank you. I actually built the whole website myself. It was a bit of a passion project of mine.
Oh, you're clearly a woman of many talents then. So could you tell us a bit about what you do and how you got started in your business?
Yeah, great. So I am a, what you would call social media consultant and or coach, just depending on kind of how you use that terminology. And what that really means is my passion is really helping businesses get a plan and a strategy in place for social media. As we know, Instagram, Facebook, they love to roll out new updates to the app. It feels like on a weekly basis these days. And that can just feel so overwhelming, especially as a small business owner when you're managing so many things at one time and social media is just one part of the things you have to do. And so my favorite way to work with clients is through one-to-one coaching or strategy sessions where we really sit down and kind of demystify social media and try and make it a little bit simpler to understand. And so that can be me kind of walking you through the technology of how it exactly works and how to get your first reel uploaded. It might look like me putting together a content plan for your business so that you can leave that meeting knowing, oh my gosh, I just have 90 days worth of content planned, ready to go. I don't have to think about it every day. And it's really helping those businesses make an impact with social media because we know social media, you have to be on it these days, but not everybody's perhaps using it as effectively or as efficiently as they would like.
So when you say people aren't using it as efficiently and as effectively as they should, what would that typically look like?
Ooh, okay, good question. Sometimes you go on, you look at certain brands, pages or personal pages, and, you know, they're kind of posting all over the place, right? You see this kind of, they haven't really dialed into what their brand is or what they're trying to communicate. They're probably just posting in a bit of a panic every morning. And so you see a lot of stock images and maybe captions that don't really align with what they're trying to say. Perhaps they don't have any hashtags, or the hashtags they're using aren't perhaps the best one for their business. And you just don't get a really clear sense of who they are and what exactly their products and services are trying to sell. And so that's what I kind of hope to go in and clean up the clutter and get a plan in place. And so far this year in 2020, I've worked with dozens of businesses, especially in this year, especially depending on when you're listening to it. But we all know 2020 was a challenging year for sure. And social media really became the forefront of how you had to get the word out there. Some of my clients who had physical stores and of course had a lot of just foot traffic coming by, they no longer had that presence. And so they really needed to transform their social media to kind of be that storefront for them.
Yeah, that's so interesting because it's been a crazy year. And actually, if you've already had an online business or you were generating work by helping online business owners, we kind of had a head start over a lot of other people. And I'm so grateful for where I was, because business for me has been great. And I don't take that for granted for 1 minute, because I know that it's been so tough for people who had a physical presence. And that's just been blown up from under their feet. It's frightening, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
So can you tell us a bit about your background? So how did you get started in your business?
Yeah, so I've worked in social media for, over 10 years now. Way back in the day, I think Instagram was just coming on the scene. Facebook business pages didn't even exist yet. You had a Facebook business group. Social media landscape, very different. Obviously, no TikTok, no Reels, no Instagram story. And in my first job, I was just the marketing manager. And so when Facebook cropped up, it was okay, and now you get to manage that Facebook thing. And then in my next job, I moved into more of a public relations role. But again, social media was kind of a catch-all back in the day. So whoever was just in that role, just do some social media. That's when we really started to see the increase in Instagram coming in and really starting to see the increase in social media uses by business and having to actually get a strategy in place. No longer just posting kind of some random tidbits, but actually kind of formulating what your business wanted to be. And then most recently, I spent the last 5 years at Destination Canada as their social media cultivator. And that's a company here in Canada where we manage, we promote tourism in Canada all over the world. It was such a wonderful place to work. And so during those 5 years, I really got to work on a global scale, tons of kind of content partnerships and working with influencers and all the ways we could kind of put Canada's best face forward out there into the world. And it really let me be hands-on. I mean, we're talking 40, 50 hours a week, social media, everything from, of course, organic posting to working with advertising agencies and graphic designers and video. It was a wonderful experience. And so during that time, I also welcomed two children into the world during that time. And I knew my heart knew that whole way that I really wanted to try this, work for myself thing. Out here where we are on the West Coast of Canada, we don't have a lot of family. And so it's just us. And I knew having that flexibility was going to be, so important for us as those boys got older. And so while I was working at Destination Canada, I started just, a little client here, a small little project there, a few workshops here. And then once I got a taste of really doing it on my own and helping those small businesses, I just knew this was the direction I just had to take it in. So then it was during my second maternity leave where I was like, okay, right, this is it. This is the time. I've really got to put 2 feet in and see if I can make this stick. Also keep small human beings alive at the same time.
I feel you on that one.
Yeah, you know what that's like. Yeah, not an easy task. Also the pandemic hit and I did have some childcare, which for my older child, which then of course went away. But I knew that I was if I love doing this much on maternity leave with no childcare and just like you working evenings and weekends and getting up early to try and scramble to pull this thing together, then I knew this is where my heart was and I knew this is exactly what I wanted to do.
And so do you tend to work mainly with other female owned businesses?
It does typically work out that way. I mean, of course, I'm always happy to work with whoever comes knocking on my door. But I do think my presence, as a mom and just, how I kind of present myself online, I've got pink in my brand colors. I do tend to attract mostly female-owned businesses. And of course, they are, my favorite clients, of course. I really think, too, connecting with other moms, other mompreneurs who just get the scheduling meetings sometimes at random hours, or sometimes your kid is home sick from daycare and you hear a baby crying in the background. You just connect with those audiences, I think, just instantly when you can kind of share those special moments as a mom who's also trying to run a business.
For sure. Yeah, that makes such a big difference. And also your Instagram grid is so pretty as well that I can see it would definitely draw in more of a female audience.
Yeah, a lot of pink there, a lot of pink.
Yeah, there's no pictures of you draping with your sunglasses over the bonnet of a Lamborghini, so.
Yeah, no, none of that there, no.
So what I find when I'm writing sales copy is that actually the thing that takes up the majority of my energy, rather than it being the writing, is coming up with the ideas. But for me, with what I'm doing, I'm often having to come up with maybe a couple of ideas a week. And what I struggle with social media, and I think I'm not alone in this, is having to come up with multiple ideas for posts every single day of the week. So, you know, sometimes people say, well, you've got to post at least 5 times a week or 7 times a week or maybe even 3 times a day. Right? Do you have a strategy that people can put in place so that they don't burn out their capacity for generating ideas? Because I think for most people, it's not so much actually having to sit down and write, because the writing part, I think, is kind of the easy bit. It's just knowing what to talk about in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a great question. So yes, I know posting is, I mean, even for me, sometimes coming with ideas can be a challenge, but I actually created this great product and I offer it for free all the time. So no matter when you're listening to this, I promise it will still be free. And that is my 12-month content planning calendar, which I've just updated for 2021. Because I know that was my main kind of same thing. My main kind of problem clients had was like, oh, I know I need to post, but what do I post about? And so I pulled together in this worksheet, it's 181 different writing prompts to kind of kick you off. And this is really great. Yeah. And this is really great, especially if you're the face of your business or a small business owner, to kind of get you to share those engaging topics that people want to, you know, to get to know you and to get your business about, things like what's your why and why you started, or how your childhood led you to the path where you're on today, or 3 ways your product and service helps your, you know, your customers get these kinds of results. So that's 181 different writing prompts to kick you off. In addition to that, it's also got 12 months of content, 5 days a week planned out. So in addition to the writing prompts, it's got different categories like customer testimonials, FAQ, behind the scenes, blog, you know, spots for your blog posts if you do have a blog that you're writing on. And that's one of the easiest ways, one of my favorite tools to use with clients to really get them started, you know, being able to produce content 5 days a week. In a perfect world, I'd say post 7 days a week, but I do believe in having that break and some mental sanity. And so I usually take weekends off, because I do think we need to find that balance between showing up consistently and clearly for our audience, but also making sure that we don't burn out too early and then decide we need to take a social media break.
Yeah, I love that. I tend to work on I just can't plan more than a week ahead, because I just find it really difficult to come up with ideas. I say, some people say plan a quarter ahead or 30 days ahead. I just simply wouldn't be able to pull that many ideas out of my head all in one go. But I think having those prompts, and also having a structure where you said, like, one day you can do an FAQ type post, one day you can do a testimonial, one day you can promote your blog. I think that kind of structure is super helpful for people, because when you get stuck, you could just go to the grid and go, oh, today's the day that I do this kind of post. And that tends to be the way I operate as well, because I'm very systematic. I don't do well without boundaries.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's what I love about this content calendar, is it just gives you some tools to get started. Typically, how I say it's best to use it is to try and look at the month ahead, and first input any, you know, if you have a big launch, for example, for a new course, or perhaps you have some new products coming in and you've got a launch, you know, put those dates in there first, and then you can kind of start working back. So for me, you know, when I'm launching a new digital course, I've got the launch date, and then I know the week leading up to that, I'm going to have a lot of content about that digital course coming out. And so I kind of want to block out those days. And then I know even earlier in the month, I might want to start teasing that idea. I might want to start talking about some of the challenges they're having and how a course might help them. And then the rest of the days, I've got all the writing prompts to kind of fill me in. So that's kind of how I look at the whole month for content planning. But then just like you, I do actually go week by week and actually writing the content and doing the copywriting and using it and scheduling it into a tool like Later or another social media scheduling tool.
And what would you say is the biggest reason not to wing it? So I had a client who she told me that she used to wake up in the morning and go and hide in the bathroom before her children woke up and write her daily social media post while she was sat on the loo. And I found it hilarious because it created this amazing visual of her just sitting on the loo. But like she used to find it really hard to come up with an idea because she'd sort of sit down in the bathroom. She'd like, right, I've got 5 minutes before my children wake up and come tearing down the landing. I've got to pull an idea out of my head. Why do you think it's such a bad idea to take that kind of approach?
Oh, so I've got two things for that. The first thing is time. By sitting down every single day to come up with a new content idea, it's actually taking you longer and taking you away from doing more of what else your business is. So instead of sitting down every day for 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of going, oh, what's the idea? What am I going to post about? I write one caption, I scramble to create an image. That actually takes a lot more time than sitting down once a week or once a month and doing a bigger plan. You know, I find for me, if I can actually just put on my planning hat, sit down at the beginning of the month and do a high level plan, it actually saves me time overall. But the second important thing is you're not being intentional with your content then. If you're just posting on the fly, like, hey, happy Monday, I'm here having coffee. That's great. But how does that help me get to know you or what you sell? It really doesn't. We really want our content to be intentional. Every single post I put out should get somebody to know me, the products or services I sell, or in my case, some amazing social media tips so that I'm building that trust with them. I never want to throw out a post just because it's Friday and I just need to post something, because it's really not helping me create that like, know, and trust factor with my audience. So the more we can be intentional with our content, the better results we're going to get in the long run.
So you have probably one of the prettiest grids that I see in my Instagram feed. Mine's a complete disaster. And I know we've spoken in the past about my love-hate relationship with Instagram. And yeah. I'm currently having a row with Instagram. We've fallen out and I'm not doing it anymore. But do you have any tips for somebody who has more design talent than me on how to create an on-brand and beautiful grid without spending hours crying over Canva? Because this is basically my life.
Yes, that is a good tip. So first of all, I would say, so I work in social media, so I feel like I have to hold my grid to a pretty high standard because, you know, for me, that is my business. For my clients, I tell them, you know, I want your grid to look on brand and professional, but by no means do you need to hold yourself to like every Thursday, it has to be a pink post, and then every Tuesday, it has to be exactly like this, because that's actually not your business. Your business is selling, you know, it's selling flowers or it's selling copywriting. It's something else. I do want it to look beautiful, but I think to each their own in that sense. When it comes to Canva, the biggest tip I can provide is getting a few templates that work. There's no need to create everything from scratch. Oftentimes my clients come in and every one of their Canva posts is completely different, different fonts, different text, different colors. And I'm like, but why did you make them all different? Like, what if you just created three templates, you know, for your three brand colors and they all looked the same every time? Like, let's really dial into what's working and what's connecting to your audience. And when you create something that works once, just recreate the wheel. That's kind of my biggest takeaway with Canva. Also, less is more. I often find, even myself, I'm guilty of this. Canva has so many amazing design tools. If you're not using Canva, please sign up. Not a paid ad. it's so easy to add an extra sticker or an extra element or an extra underline. And I often find the posts that really stand out in my Instagram feed, the people I follow, are the ones that are very simple, where the copy or the image is really what's saying it all. So that's the other kind of thing to think about, is your images or your designs don't have to have thousands of things going on. Pick a great font, stick to your brand colors, and really dial in and keep it simple.
Where do you stand when it comes to the face to camera photos? Because what I find with Instagram was, especially Instagram stories, but I kind of felt like I was having to spend my entire day with my phone in my face taking pictures of myself. And so I have three children under the age of seven. I'm lucky if I've even had time to eat or get dressed. So yeah. I do not have the time to make myself look photo ready for like days and days worth of social media photos. And I'd come to post something on Instagram and I'd look through my camera roll and be like, well, I've used all of the acceptable photos that I have in my camera roll. And I just can't, I look like a hot mess today. There's no way I'm taking another photo. Do you have any tricks or hacks to help people take the kind of quick face to camera photos that actually look good?
So yes. So well, two things there. The first one's not a hack. The first one is hire a brand photographer.
That's where I've been going wrong.
Yeah. So for me as a service provider, and even though I can take medium photos, same thing. I've got two kids at home. Having fresh face every day. Definitely do not shower every day here. We're living through a pandemic. So I had two brand photo shoots so far. I work with a wonderful photographer here in Vancouver, because then the time investment is so worth it in terms of I have one shoot with her. I get amazing photos I know I can use for months and months and months and months. And they're very on brand for my business. Now, if that's not in your budget or where you are today, the second thing for me, and I do this with all my content, is batching your content. So for example, today I had a number of on video calls before this. So, I woke up and I actually showered and put on makeup. And so this afternoon after this, I've already got a few reels that I'm going to record. I will take a number of photos today. And I know it sounds silly, but my husband watches me do this. I stand in front of our blank wall holding a few things, and then I change my top and I sit somewhere else, and then I do another pose. And then I throw my hair up and I change my top again and I do another pose. So you feel silly doing it, but that's really how people are getting those photos, is block out an hour in a day when you've actually had the time to shower and put on some makeup and take a whole bunch of photos at one time. I also have a really handy, affordable tripod that I use with my iPhone. I think it was $50 off Amazon. And it's got a wonderful light ring if I've got need some extra lighting in case, like today, it's a pretty miserable gray day here. So that gives me some really great lighting. It's got a remote on it so I can, stand farther away from the camera. I can hit the remote. But that's what I do, is when I actually need some more kind of off the cuff photos, I just plan an hour when I've had the time to do my hair and makeup, take 40 photos that day. And that'll, again, get you kind of planning ahead.
Oh, that's such a good tip.
This episode is brought to you in partnership with Podia.com. Not too long ago, I launched my first ever online course using one of the biggest course hosting platforms online at the moment. But by the time I'd finished putting it together, I think I'd literally aged about 25 years. The tech to get it up and running was mind-bogglingly complex. And to be honest, I'm someone who's actually pretty tech savvy. And it really didn't take long before the hidden costs I was racking up to get the features I needed started to spiral completely out of control. Then I discovered Podia. Podia is an all-in-one course hosting platform which combines all the functionality you need to market and launch your online course. It combines a super user-friendly website builder, landing page hosting, email marketing, and drag-and-drop course building functionality. The best part is prices start at just $39 a month, with no hidden costs to bite you in the bottom. As soon as I found Podia, I switched right over, and the results were amazing. My course looks really slick and is super easy for students to navigate. So if you're looking for a wallet-friendly course hosting platform, which is ridiculously easy to use, then head over to www.wordistry.co.uk/partners. Then click the Checkout Podia Now button to see what they can do for you.
So one of your greatest feats that you mentioned was that you grew an account to 40,000 followers using user-generated content and community stories. And one thing that I'm sort of hearing over and over again at the moment, especially in the Facebook ad space, is that user-generated content is kind of the trend at the moment. It's converting really well from an ad perspective. And I guess one of the reasons for that is that it sits really naturally in the newsfeed, because that's what people like non-business owners are doing. Do you have any tips, like, as well as the user-generated content side of things, on how a small business owner could hope to scale their own account to those kind of numbers?
Yeah. So when I started working with Vancouver Trails, they had 1,800 followers. And today I'm just checking their numbers right now. They're up to 44,000 followers. So that's been over 4 years, but certainly significantly growth every year. The first thing for them was really being consistent. Before I was working with them in the summer, again, they were kind of just posting off the cuff whenever, not consistency. So really committing to showing up consistently throughout those summer months was really important. And then because of an account like Vancouver Trails, it's a hiking account. Of course, I'm not out hiking. The business owners are not out hiking every day. They had some photos, but they just weren't great. And so what I did was like you said, started sourcing from the community. And so that was looking through the hashtag Vancouver Trails, but then also looking through specific trails I wanted to post about. The quick and easy way to do this is for the photos I wanted to use, number one rule, I always ask for permission every time. I never posted somebody else's photo without actually asking for permission first. And that was simply me leaving a comment on their photo saying, hey, I think this is a beautiful photo. I'd love to share it with the Vancouver Trails community, if that's okay. 9 times out of 10, they respond back saying, yes, that's so amazing. I'd love to do that. Great. And then I would save that information with their details and everything for when it was ready to post. And then the key here really with user-generated content is that I've gotten their permission, and so I've created that connection. And then when later on, when I went ahead and shared their photo and tagged them in it, they were super excited to see their photo shared in the feed. And then they would usually do an Instagram story sharing the fact that we shared their photo, kind of, again, further broadening our reach. So the user-generated content, and now we basically just do user-generated content, it both helped to create a community around Vancouver Trails because people were excited that somebody was reaching out to them from the brand. And people were kind of proud to have their photos showcased in the feed. In addition to that, every Friday I would do a roundup of even more photos because I was only posting one photo a day on Instagram. So I might do another 5 or 6 photos just in a story to say, hey, these were some of our fan favorites this week. And I give a little shout out to everybody. But if you're in a position where, especially if you sell products, it's maybe a trickier with services, but there's certainly some ways to do it as well. But if you're in a place where you're struggling with photos, you don't really have access to maybe easy photographs in other way, look through who else is either using your physical products, or if it's a service, who else is aligned like you and your brand, and ask to share some of their content. Usually people are very excited, again, as long as we're giving that proper credit and tagging the accounts where appropriate. People are excited to see their hard work shared in other places. And so if it can be a two-way street, a win-win for everybody, you get some easy free assets to promote your account, and then you're also sharing the love back with your community.
That's such a good tip, because then you're definitely sort of maximizing the impact on every post that you create, because the person you've tagged is excited, you're excited, you've not had to slave away coming up with the idea because someone else has done the work for you. It's like the perfect scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
So I write a fair amount of Facebook and Instagram ad copy, and one of the ways to drive down ad costs is to make sure that you're creating ads that are generating a load of likes and comments and shares. So obviously engagement is super important for paid traffic, but it's also super important for organic traffic as well, to make sure that your posts get seen by as many people as possible. And I know like a lot of people get kind of hung up on this idea of engagement, especially, you know, when they're first starting out, you maybe don't know how to structure posts to get that engagement, or like, it's just hard when your audience is tiny. The algorithm is not our friend at the moment. Do you have any simple go-to strategies that people can implement to help them boost that engagement, just to kind of kick things off on their account?
Yeah, I actually just posted a carousel about this yesterday. I'd say there's two things to engagement. The first thing is, one, you have to be committed to creating great content. It doesn't matter what you do with all the other strategies. If your content that you're putting out is not great or not aligned with your brand, nobody's going to engage on it. So step one is really thinking about, how can I make great content? How can I provide value for my audience? So for me, every single day, 5 days a week, I'm showing up with different tip ideas, or I've got some funny reels if you want to see me dancing very terribly. But I really try and provide value. I really try and every day show up and say, hey, here's how you could do something, or here's some tips for this, so that my audience knows there's actually value in following me, because they're going to get all this great free information. But the second piece, and this is often the most overlooked piece, is the way to get engagement is to give engagement. And I cannot stress this enough. But when we actually, you know, everybody's posting, right? Everybody puts their posts out there, let's say in the morning, and then everyone sits back and goes, okay, everyone engage. But that's what everybody's doing, right? So if you put yourself out there and actually spend some time engaging with other content every day, and I have tested this, so I know it works, you will see more engagement on your posts. So this can start with people who I follow, and I choose to follow our accounts and brands I really love. And I try to comment on 10 to 20 of those posts every single day. I'm giving them, you know, and not just an emoji, but actually writing a little thoughtful something every day, because they always comment back on my stuff, but they're people I now know. And I, you know, I love their products and services. I think they're amazing. And so I feel like we have a little bit of a cheering squad going on, where we always kind of, you know, share each other's content and work really hard to kind of grow our little community here in Port Moody together. But then I also reach out to people who I'm not yet following or following me. And I engage, you know, on areas where I hope my clients would be. And so that could be hashtags or locations, depending on what your business is. And I can see a direct correlation between the more time I spend engaging, the more engagement that circles back to my account. So I know it's not perhaps a quick and easy win, but what I try and do is say, you know that coffee time in the morning when you're sitting down with your coffee and you're usually scrolling Instagram, let's be honest. instead of just sitting there and scrolling on Facebook or Instagram, say, I'm going to make this 10 minutes worth it. I'm going to spend 10 minutes while I enjoy my morning cup of tea or coffee, and I'm actually going to leave comments on all of the photos that I come by that I enjoy. I'm actually just going to take a second and leave a comment. And that makes such a difference. If you can do that a couple times a day, spend 10 or 15 minutes twice a day, actually doing meaningful engagement, you will see more engagement on your posts as well.
That's such a great tip. I've heard a few people sharing that idea before, and I guess, like you say, it's not the easiest thing to do, and it's not like a super quick hack that you could just go in 5 minutes. It takes effort, but I think that's kind of the key with social media anyway. People are always looking for some kind of quick 2 second hack that's going to suddenly explode their account, and the truth is that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist with anything in business or in life. Like, you've just got to put in the work.
Yeah, that's the truth. I know. I wish I had more quick hacks for people, but the truth is, unless you're very famous, your content probably will not go viral the first time. Everybody knows, you know, there's always that one TikTok video. Like, of course, we know that famous video this year of the guy on the skateboard with, the cranberry juice. But, you know, that was just a guy on a skateboard. He's not marketing or selling anything. That was just a really genuine moment, which is part of the reason that went viral. The reality is, as a business owner, it's unlikely that your very first TikTok or reel is going to be the one that goes viral. Typically, the ones that go viral are the people who've spent the time really making amazing content day in and day out, honing in on what their audience wants to hear. And then we see the video go viral and we think, oh, it just happened overnight. But in fact, you look back and they've really been working hard for years behind the scenes.
Now, I have to admit that I know nothing about TikTok. And actually, the other week, I was listening to Social Media Marketing, the podcast, and they had a guest on who was talking about TikTok. She'd figured out how to get her account to grow really fast, and it sounds like the engagement over there and the growth potential is massive. But when I went on, I was just looking at it, I was like, what are these people doing? I don't understand. And I felt so old. So are you quite active on TikTok?
Oh gosh, no, I felt the same. When TikTok came out, I was like, finally a channel I don't have to be on. This is not where my audience is. I can commit to not being on TikTok. And then Instagram introduced Reels, which are basically TikTok videos. And I was like, okay, well, my clients are going to want to know how to do Reels. I've got to learn how to do Reels. So I know a lot of the same editing features and techniques come from TikTok. So I've got to get on there. So currently I have a TikTok account, but to be honest, I actually use my TikTok account to create Reels and to find ideas for the Reels account. Here in Canada, if you're a business account, you don't have access to music for your Reels. You can, however, make a TikTok video with music, download it, and then upload it to Reels as a workaround. So unfortunately, yes, I've had to dive into TikTok. I've posted one video publicly just as like a test. And I mean, I have no followers, obviously. I haven't actually activated this account, and it's still got like 100 views. So I was like, that's interesting. That how can a video get 100 views when I've never posted anything before? I didn't even write a caption for it, because again, I just meant to post it to Reels. So I do think there's huge potential there. However, huge potential for views and engagement doesn't necessarily translate into sales. It's really going to depend on what your business is and what kind of your long-term strategy is with that. Now, if you're somebody who loves video, you love making quick hits on video, you're super creative that way, then I would say jump on TikTok for sure, just because of the amazing potential that's on there and kind of the way to be on trend and find trends earlier. But secondly, if you're going to be making Instagram Reels, I do find that TikTok has been a great inspiration for finding great content that I can kind of make for Reels.
Yeah, that's really super interesting. I think there's always a temptation because people are kind of hyping it up that you feel like you have to jump in there. But if like you say, your audience isn't there, and let's face it, like if most people that we speak to are mum business owners, I'm kind of hoping they're not spending their day hanging out with a load of 12-year-olds on TikTok. But I pass no judgment. It's just I have no idea what's going on there, and I'm just feel so out of place.
Yeah. The one thing on TikTok, I feel like there's so much positive video content on there. I have to say it's sometimes a nice refreshing break from Instagram. I find the videos I get served up are very different on TikTok. So if you're looking for kind of a new space, maybe to kind of like de-stress or hang out, that could be another reason just to dabble in TikTok and just see what it's about.
That's a good tip. I think anything that's going to give us a bit of a morale boost at the moment is always a win.
Yeah, totally.
So do you have any tips for how you would go about actually converting an Instagram audience and Instagram engagement into paying customers? Because I find that most of my social media traffic is great for getting people to listen to my podcast or to sign up to my email list. But as a conversion tool, for me anyway, social media is not great. It's not where my sales happen. I think, you know, I know lots of people that do make a ton of sales on social media, but I personally haven't cracked it. So I'd be interested to know where you stand on that. Do you use it as a traffic generating source, or are you pretty good at also converting those leads into sales?
Yeah, so I definitely do both. That's a really good question. So what you mentioned, email, super important. Social media should definitely be a traffic driver for your email list. And I absolutely use it for that. So my freebie, the content calendar that we've talked about, I talk about that all the time in social media as a way to get people onto my email list. And that has a really strong conversion rate. And then hopefully through my emails and continued kind of touch points with me, hopefully they will become clients of mine. However, I do find that some of my digital products, because again, they're lower price points, have sold really well through social media alone. So I think there's two kind of things there. Depending on what your products and prices are, social media can be a great tool for them. And I have seen direct sales come in from Instagram, but I do think it's just time. You know, it's just time showing up. It's time with kind of the right posts at the right time. I do know that the clients who've typically bought, you know, when I've announced, for example, my group coaching program, and the ones that kind of bought after that post came out on Instagram, they're also on my email list. So, you know, again, it's hard to say which point converted them. Was it finally that last, you know, Instagram post where they heard me talking about it yet again? They were like, okay, fine, I will sign up. You got me. I will finally do that. And, you know, and I know I will sign up directly. So I think it's a bit of both. It kind of depends on what you're doing. I have noticed for things like when I do a launch kind of with an Instagram focus, Instagram will convert directly. And it's just a great place for me to start conversations. I do a lot of follow-up on stories. I put out questions and polls, and it's a really great way for me to kind of start a conversation with somebody who then might turn into an email where we talk about strategy or coaching packages. So I have found that way, it's a great way to maybe start a conversation, then we turn it to an email, and then finally we make that sale.
And how do you feel about sort of cold DMing people, or maybe sort of jumping into people's DMs after they've commented on one of your stories or one of your posts? Because I know some people who swear by that strategy, and it's not something I'm massively comfortable with, but I mean, that's possibly just me and my strange head. So I'd be interested to know where you stand on that as a strategy for converting leads.
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. Gosh, I get a lot of DMs. So I stand on DMs like this. You know, if we were in person, you know, in a world where you see people in person again, and we were at a networking event, and I came up to you and I was like, hi, Anna, here's what I sell, and I have amazing things, and I want you to be my next coaching program. Here's where the link to join up. How would that make you feel, you know, in that moment where I just walked up to you and just jumped into the sale?
Oh, I would be so into buying at that moment, totally.
But if instead I walked up to you and said, oh, hi, Anna, my name's Jennifer. I work in social media. What do you do for a living? And then we had a nice conversation back and forth. And then at some point you said, oh, what do you do? Like, what kind of social media services do you offer? I said, oh, I'd love to chat with you. Here's a link to learn more. Here's a link to book a DM, or here's some freebie tips that I have. That conversation would probably feel a lot more natural. And so you can definitely use DMs to sell, but pretend you're doing it to a real life person. And so for me, when I direct message somebody, I typically start with my followers, a much better place to start. I love to write a welcome message to new followers. And in my welcome message, I simply say like, hey, hi, Anna, thank you so much for following me. And then I take a second to be like, wow, copywriting, I need to learn more. I'd love to become a better copywriter. By the way, if you're looking for social media content, I know that can be, you know, a challenge not to post every day. I've got lots of great free resources in my bio. Help yourself anytime. So my formula is kind of, I introduce myself, I make a comment on the other person to let them know that I actually checked out their account and I care what they're doing. And then I direct them just to free resources. I never do a hard pitch or a sale right away. I just let them know, hey, I've got this free content calendar. If you're struggling with ideas, I think it could help. And I leave it at that. If we carry on and have a conversation, amazing. And if I can get them on an email or a call, if it's a fit for them, great. But I think the cold DM immediately just jumping into a sale, that just never feels good for anyone.
No, it's totally ick. But I like your approach, definitely. And I think it's really easy on the internet to forget that you're actually dealing with real people, because all you're seeing is either a logo or a still image of somebody or their username. You forget that there's an actual human being on the other end that wants to be spoken to like a real human being.
Exactly.
If you jump into their inbox without having any kind of relationship, it's just like those awful door-to-door salespeople that shoulder barge into your front door trying to sell you some a new window when you've just had your windows replaced. It's hideous.
Yeah, exactly. So I get a lot of DMs like that. Yeah, I think the best thing to do is exactly what you said, treat them like real human beings, and you'll be amazed at the conversations and the results that you'll get.
So I'm going to look to wrap up because I know I've taken a ton of your time already. But before I let you go, can you share, I know you've mentioned your content calendar, but outside of that, is there anywhere else that they can go to find out a bit more about you and the amazing support that you offer to business owners?
Yeah, thank you. So my website is mountaintopconsulting.ca. And of course, I'm on Instagram at Mountaintop Consulting. And right from the link tree there or from my website, you can check out my social media strategy packages, group coaching offers that are available. And depending on when you were listening to this, I also have a few digital courses going live in early 2021. One is going to be on Reels because, gosh, I know that's new and that's tough for a lot of business owners now. I've been working hard on recording it this week, and that's something I want to get out the door in early January so that business owners can jump on the Reels trend right away. And then I'll also have a bigger Instagram 101 course starting in Q1 as well. And then I do have a hashtag workbook and webinar that's also available on my website right now.
Oh, that sounds awesome. So if people want to dive into your courses or find out a bit more about those, is the best thing for them to send you an email or to DM you on Instagram?
Yeah, DM me on Instagram, or my email is jennifer@mountaintopconsulting.com. Or sorry, .ca.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being so generous with all your knowledge. I know that everything you just shared is going to be super useful and actionable for all the listeners. And I can't wait to see everything that you've got going on over the next few months. It sounds like you're going to be super busy.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful. It's so great to connect, and I'm glad we can make the time difference work.
If you enjoyed the amazing insights Jennifer just shared inside this episode, make sure you head over to mountaintopconsulting.ca, where you can check out her amazing blog content and also sign up to her email list. And if you want to stay on top of new episodes of the Conversion Choreography Show, don't forget to hit the subscribe button in your favourite podcast app. You'll get instant access to brand new episodes direct to your favourite device as soon as they go live, so you can stay ahead of the competition with the latest marketing and conversion strategies. Hit subscribe now, and I'll see you again next week. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Conversion Choreography Show. If you did, then make sure you hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode on your favourite device. You can also subscribe to receive email updates direct to your inbox if you head over to my website at www.wordistry.co.uk.